Reading from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with the 9th verse. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And a reading from 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Reverend Charles Hoffacker said something in his sermon on this 1 John text that stuck with me this week. I kept coming back to it. Really got me thinking. And so I suspect that his sermon was written for a Mother's Day as well. This is what he said. At the heart of all reality, there stands a grieving mother who sees her child murdered. Mary, the mother of Jesus, whom John says was the eternal Word, God incarnate, the Word made flesh. Mary, in her response to God, stands at the heart, or at least somewhere near the center of Christianity. You may remember that someone once asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God. And then he went on to say that the second one is like it. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in a sense, Jesus said, loving your neighbor as yourself is the same as loving the Lord your God. That's the equation that John offers us in his gospel and in this first letter to the church. If you love the Father, you will love the children, for love comes from God. And if we abide in God, then we're abiding in love. And if we abide in love, we're abiding in God. And if we keep His commandments, which are to love God and to love our neighbor with our whole self, then we abide in God's love and we abide in life. It's pretty simple math, isn't it? But then John has the bravery to say that it's not difficult, not nearly as difficult we might think. And I think of Mary, when she consented to, or at least accepted, what the angel told her God was doing with her. My conclusion for why she accepted that has to pass by. She just wanted to be faithful. Somehow Mary's decision to go along with what God wanted of her had to be rooted in her love for God. For according to what we've just heard, there is no reason to obey God but that we love God. And when we obey God, we are truly loving God. And so Mary is presented with an opportunity to love the Lord her God, to love the God of Israel. And so she accepts the word of the angel who says that the one who would be born would save his people from their sins. That he was in fact, that accepting that, dear ones, was in fact an act of loving the Father, of loving the children, loving us. It stands to reason she was also loving us if she was loving the Father, for God's purposes in Christ weren't just for Mary. Sending the eternal Word to take on flesh wasn't just for Mary and Joseph or for the first century world. It was also for us. And so Mary's decision to go along with what God proposed through the angel, or what God actually told the angel he was doing, and the angel told Mary God was doing, was an act of loving God and an act of loving the children of Israel, the people who were waiting for the Christ, the Messiah. And as the most Jewish of the Gospels, Matthew tells us in chapter 1, verse 21, the angel told Joseph about Mary, she will bear a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And right off, in Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, we learn that the purpose of sending the Christ is not just so that God might be praised, but so that the people of God might be released from sin and death. And so Mary's act of consenting to what God wants from her is an act of loving God and of loving the children. When she uttered her response, she was also loving us. For we need the Christ as much as Peter and Paul and James and John. That loving act, a mother who gives herself to the mission of God, to give God's self to and for the world, brings her later to the side of the cross to witness the murder of her own son. You may remember that when Mary brought her child to the temple to be circumcised, Simeon met her on the steps of the temple, held the child and declared him to be the Messiah, and told Mary, "A sword will pierce your heart." Alluding to the crucifixion. This mother grieved at the cross. And so it's no wonder that she is so revered in Christianity. She believed in God, she knew God, she trusted God, and she chose to live in that love by embracing God and God's loving act on behalf of the whole cosmos. She loved the Father, and so she became a partner in God's love for the children. I can only imagine how loved and vindicated she must have felt that first Easter morning as she stood in the upper room with the other disciples and her dead son appeared in the midst of them. Alive and in his own body that she had given birth to. 1 John 5 is calling us into that kind of loving, living hope. All of us who believe that the Christ is Jesus, Mary's Son, God in the flesh, have been born of God into an eternal relationship of belief and trust and faith. And therefore, we are no longer restricted to the kind of self-serving love that the world celebrates, that puts self first and bank account first and freedom first and all the ridiculous things that people kneel down to today. Because we're called to be bound up in the love of God, which is not freedom for anything, but freedom for joyful obedience. The same kind of joyful obedience that filled Mary's heart. To enter into the living, self-giving love of the Father and the Son. John tells us that all who love the Father love the children, and those who have been born of God, all those who believe that the Christ is Jesus. And like Mary, when we allow the love of God to be the very room in which we have life, we take our place alongside her at the center of this thing we call Christianity, at the center of the hope for eternal life, at the center of being the people of God. And it's only then that we can be truly alive. For it is that love that gives us life. We choose to live in many places, whether our homes are a street address, or hatred, or vindictiveness, or misery, or anger. All of those are choices. Before us today stands a grieving mother whose grief has been vindicated, who would say to us that we can in fact choose to live in the love of God, and that what God has planned for us and has for us to do is more important than anything we might ever imagine we could dream to do. To bear the Christ into the world by being a people who live in His love, who live in belief, who abide in the love of Christ, who walk in that love every day and live in the center of it and allow it to envelop our whole being such that so when people meet us, what they meet is the love of Christ. That is who we are called to be and nothing less. And so, when Jesus offered one of the hopes of our faith, defining eternal life, He didn't talk about dying and going off to some faraway heaven. He said this, "This is eternal life, to know You and to know You as the only true God and to know Jesus Christ whom You have sent." To live in that relationship of love with God the Father and the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit, so much so that the life that you have in you now is eternal. And you need not wait for some future day of blessing, because the day of blessing is now as we choose to live and abide in Christ. And so today, when we remember motherhood, I think we must also remember Mary. For she was that first vessel that bore Christ into the world. And now the church has become the second vessel. You all are Christ bearers. When you leave here, Christ leaves in you to go wherever you are going, so that the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit can pour forth into every space that you inhabit and into every relationship that you inhabit, and form the basis of complete joy. For dear ones, He said twice to us that all we need to have our joy be complete is to believe that Jesus is the Christ and to live in His love, to keep His commandments. And the good news, He says, this is not hard. So dear ones, today, as you witness God claim Lonnie Jean, remember that God has claimed you to be a person who bears Christ in the world, a witness to His goodness and love. Amen.